Hey friends, welcome to the Outpost Sunday Morning Message Podcast. My name's Addison. If you have any questions or want to know more about Outpost Community Church, visit our website, outpostcommunity.org. We hope you have a great week and thanks for tuning in.
If you have a Bible, I'd love for you to go to Joshua chapter 7 because we're going to look. What do we do as a community when we find sin in our community, sin in our camp? What should we do? How should we respond? Now, I am a sinner. I don't know if you know this. And there's a sense in my heart where every time I get up here to teach, what right do I have? I am a sinner just as much is all of you. But we're going to look at God's word and let God's word speak to us. And we're going to look at how should we respond when we find sin in the camp. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, this is what it says. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. The people of Israel suffered because of one man, Achan. Why? Friends, as an individualistic society like ours, it's hard for us to comprehend what unity and true community really mean. How it actually works. We struggle to understand that Israel is a people, not a person. And it's the same in the church. The church is not a me or a you. The church is a we and an us. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5 say, "For as in one body there are many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." In 1 Corinthians 12, 6, Paul tells us, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We are an us. So when Achan sinned, the impact affected the whole. What kind of sin did he commit? Well, he says that he broke faith in devoted things. That word broke faith is the Hebrew word ma'al, which means infidelity. It means that he has been unfaithful. Because Israel is in a covenant relationship with God, as I am in a covenant relationship with Bonnie. He broke faith. And so all the nation broke faith because a part of the nation broke faith. And it says that he took the devoted things, which is the Hebrew word karem. And karem, it basically in Joshua 6, he says what he did. Joshua 6, he says, this is right before 7. But you, Israel, keep yourselves from the things devoted, karem, to destruction. Lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. Notice that trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They are karem. They are devoted to God. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So Achan stole from God. He took the things that were devoted to God and he took them from himself. Why did he do it? He says in verse 21, "When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and I took them." Essentially, what Achan is saying is that he took them because he wanted them. But they were karem. They belonged to God. But what does Joshua 6 have to do with us? Last I checked, the church has not been commanded to go and overtake cities, In the Old Testament, listen, the gold, the silver, the jewels were all set apart for the temple of God. The gold was Kerem. The temple was Kerem. The priests wore some of the jewels, and the priests themselves were Kerem. They themselves were devoted to God, set aside for God. Friends, this has to do with us because you are God's devoted things. Did you know that? You and I. Did you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you, church? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you and I are that temple. We are devoted. You are God's priest. The Apostle Peter says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You are his, and you are devoted to the Lord. So when we give ourselves to sin, we don't just sin against others, we sin directly against God, because we are coveting our own life for ourselves. We are stealing ourselves away from God, whom he has purchased. We are robbing God. 1 Corinthians 6 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. And so when we take ourselves away from God, friends, when I do this, I sin. And the sin always has consequences. Sin always leads to defeat in the camp. Look at verse 2. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up, but let about 2 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men went up there, from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. The sin of one man caused the defeat of a nation and the death of 36 of their sons. They lost a battle that they should not have lost. And it's not because they didn't have enough men. It's not because they didn't have enough swords. It's not because they didn't have enough information. They lost that battle because they did not have the Lord. We lose as a church. Listen. Not because we don't have enough money or staff, or volunteers, or property, or communities. We lose when sin is allowed to dwell among us. When we allow sin to dwell in our hearts unaddressed, the power and the strength that God provides for us, his people, is robbed from us. That is a fact. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 7 says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. As you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. We don't have to allow it to be here. I don't have to hide it in my heart. Now, some of you think this applies only to leadership, and you are absolutely right. When leaders sin, there is tremendous consequence. That's why 1 Timothy 5 tells us that the sin of leaders must be rebuked in the presence of all. But Achan was not a leader of Israel. Achan was a random guy from a random family in a random clan in a random tribe. Yet his sin and his faithlessness in God held back the people of God from the promise of God. Listen, they were defeated because he was not devoted. They were defeated because he was not devoted. And today, we have been defeated. You may be a door greeter or a tech guy. You may set out signs and you may be an elder overseer of this church, but no matter who you are, your faith and or your faithlessness have a real impact on the health and the forward progress of God's people. Your sin is our defeat. Your compromise is our weakness. Your faithlessness, church, is our roadblock, and so is mine. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So let's get to it. What's the proper response? How should we respond when we find sin in our hearts, when we find sin in our camp and in our church? How should we respond? Look at Joshua in verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. And he and the elders of Israel, they put dust on their heads. Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, listen, the first response to sin and defeat is always brokenness. That's our first response. It's brokenness. Joshua and the leaders, they tore their clothes, they fell to their knees, they sought the face of God. This is the right response. This is the first response then and now and always. When we sense it, we humble ourselves. James 4, 8 through 10 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let the laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. Look, I know we got some people in the room, you're not maybe a part of the church, you're not a Christian, you go, oh man, see, like, and maybe some of you guys are wondering, why would I share this in front of you guys? Because I just want you to get a healthy discipleship opportunity to see this is how we deal with sin. And the church is a place that is safe for sinners, but not safe for sin. But it's safe for sinners. That's why we're here. But not for sin. Listen, I know some of you, there's other responses than brokenness. I think some of us are probably going to say, see, this is why I don't trust churches. And you'll want to leave and you'll want to turn away. And listen, I get the hurt that you feel. I absolutely do. But in your hurt and frustration, will you isolate from God's people? Satan would love for you to do exactly that. Satan has a plan for your life, and isolation is a great opportunity for him to talk to you about it. Some of you will be tempted to doubt God, doubt his ways, and doubt God himself. Joshua did, verse 7. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. And I think some of you guys go, man, would that I had just been content to stay home and watch messages online and not get involved in this whole church thing. I get it. But it's just not God's way. And so some of you will be tempted to pride. Some of you will be angry and tempted to pride. Say, but I can't believe that he would do something like that. I would never do something like that. Well, listen to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Survey was done of 400 pastors who had fallen due to sexual sin, and every single one of them answered one question exactly the same, only question that they answered exactly the same. And the question was, did you think that this could happen to you? And every single one said no. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Friends, listen, the first response is not pride. It's not to throw stones. It's not even anger. It should be brokenness. The first response to sin and defeat is brokenness, getting on our knees, seeking God's face with humility and fear. Only then will we be in the right posture to identify and deal with the sin that is in our own hearts and in this community so that we can get to freedom. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he might exalt you. But friends, listen to me. If we try to do God's job and exalt ourselves, he will do our job and humble us. After brokenness, what's the next step that we take? Well, the next step that we take is we identify the sin. We got to identify it. We got to call it what it is before we can deal with it. Verse 10, the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up! Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I have commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted to destruction." The people who were devoted to God, who are his possession, are now devoted to destruction because they have practiced infidelity with God. They stole from God. God has provided them with freedom from slavery. He sustained them. He made them into a people when they were no one. He stopped the Jordan from flowing and is giving them the land of promise, but still they lacked faith and chose to take for themselves what belonged to God, what was devoted to God. And friends, listen to me, church, in the same way, we were dead in our trespasses and sins in which we once walked. We were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all of us once walked, in the passions of our flesh and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved you and I. What did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. Amen? That is the gospel. Then can we who have been rescued from sin continue in it? By no means. Paul says, heck no. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. God says to Joshua, I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and the tribes that the Lord takes by lot shall become near by clans, and the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the household that the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel. Friends, they're identifying the sin. It would be like me having some dice up here, because they're going to cast lots. It'd be like me having some dice up here, and this is section 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I rolled, and it was 1, and this is the section that was taken. And then I rolled it again, and it said, and this is the road that it was taken. And I rolled it again, and I go, and that's the seat. Listen to what Scripture says, Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. That's not to scare us, friends. It's to woo us. God does not need them to cast lots. He knows who it is. It's to woo us into honesty before the Lord. It is foolish to think that we can hide our sin from the Lord. It is dangerous to think that our sin will not have consequences on us and on those around us. We must identify the sin and faithlessness in our hearts. Church, we have to. Today. Friends, God loves you. God loves us. And that love that God has for us, church, listen, it motivated him to give us these laws, these statutes, these rules, these commandments. It motivated him to give them to us because he does not want you and I to hurt. He wants us to prosper. Whether the sins are hidden or unhidden, he wants us to come to a life in Jesus. Did you know that? That's why this past week I've been praying Psalm 139, 23 to 24. I prayed this every single day this week. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We just sang that. Friend, the righteous and the lovers of God hate sin because they know that it destroys their intimacy with God. And that's what we desire, isn't it, church? To have intimacy with God, do we? Do we really want it? If we don't, man, and we allow sin to dwell in our hearts, dwell in this community, it will stop our forward progress. We will not be able to stand before the enemy of God ready to fight. Guys, are you willing to pray this psalm with me? Say, God, search my heart. Do you long to identify the grievous ways in yourself that are breaking intimacy with God, that are slowing or stopping your ministry and causing collateral damage? If you want to walk in the way of everlasting, you must identify your sin. And then the next thing we have to do is we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it because God loves us. God loves us so much. He loves us so much. It's like my son. If he's got a splinter and it's festering, what do I got to do? I got to identify it. Hey, buddy, this is a problem. And my son does not want me to touch it. But I will hold him down and pin him to the table to get that out of him. Because a splinter should not become a missing limb. Amen? And that's what sin wants to do in your life. It wants to take a splinter, an innocent text, and turn it into a destroyed marriage. And this... So with Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper. But what does it say next? But whoever confesses and forsakes will obtain mercy. Don't think that God's here to judge you. He's here to set you free. So the community seeks to deal with the sin. And verse 9, so they do the lots that comes down to Achan, and this is what Joshua says to Achan. My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. And tell me now what it is you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak of Shinar, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, and then I coveted them, and I took them, and see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. Are you hiding something devoted to God in underneath your tent? Look at what Joshua says when he asks Achan. Did you notice this? Give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give him praise. What does this mean? Friends, it means that confession is worship. In fact, confession is one of the greatest forms of worship that there is. Period. Some of you are hiding sin in your heart. I know what that's like. I'm not a fool. Maybe you have something that you are planning to take to the grave. I know what that's like. Nothing and no one can make you confess it. What would people think? What would they do? How would they respond? So here's the thing. If you have something that you're willing to take to the grave, listen to me. I know it would take a lot to convince you to tell somebody. As you can imagine, a lot of people have confessed sin to me here at Outpost. And what I have said quite often, said to some very dear friends as I say this to them, thank you for telling me. It says a lot about what you think about me that you would entrust that to me. How much more does it show that we trust God when we confess that sin and give it to him? So God, I trust you. That is praise and worship. Not only that, did you know that Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 15, you know what he says happens in heaven when a sinner confesses? Listen, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Those of you right now, you're terrified. I just want you to know right now, every angel is sitting on the edge of their seat watching you, waiting to see if you will finally give glory to God and praise him with a confession. And if you confess, you know what they do? They shout praises to God. Because God is so good that you would trust him. Praise be to the Lord. And they party and they sing over you and they can't wait to talk to you about it. Confession is worship, and it is the first step to dealing with sin. In this situation, Achan was caught. Achan was caught. He didn't come forward when it was announced that there was devoted things in the camp. He knew that it was him, but he didn't want to confess. He was afraid, like us. Maybe he thought he could get away with it, but God is not blind, brother and sister. He's not blind. So friends, listen, it is better to confess, but it is a grace of God to be caught, to be found out. Achan and the people were not going to be able to move one step further until this was dealt with. So praise God they were caught. 36 men died in a battle that they should not have lost because he was hiding something. Listen to me. It is a mercy on us as a church that Jake's sin and all of our sin comes into the light today. Why? Because whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. That's a promise. You will get mercy. That's what he will give you. God is not trying to rip you off, friend. He's trying to set you free. And Satan wants to put shame on you so heavy that you want to run away as far as you can. But God is trying to woo you into confession to say, he's looking at you and going, listen, son, my way is better. Come to me. I already know, but you need to tell me and you need to get it out. Let's deal with this together. I want to give you freedom. I want to give you mercy. So the nation of Israel deals with the sin. Verse 24, Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold and the sons and daughters and his oxen and donkeys and sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor, which is the valley of trouble. And Joshua said, why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today. And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with the stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. The first step in dealing with sin is to confess it. The second step in dealing with sin is to destroy it. How do we destroy sin? We repent. Repentance is a turning away from sin. Repentance is a running towards the Father. Repentance is getting the sin out of your life, out of the camp, so that we can leave the valley of trouble. Does anyone want to leave the valley of trouble with me? Listen, because, if you're not listening, listen right now. Because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, you do not have to be stoned or burned. Jesus took the white, hot, fiery wrath of God upon himself so that you don't have to experience it. And the stones that should be stacked on your body are rolled away when Jesus was raised from the grave. Amen? That's what Easter is all about. Jesus was burned and was stacked with stones so that you and I, the Barabbases of this world, might go free. We just have to confess and repent. The gospel, which is the good news of what Christ has done, is the foundation for a community of faith that is absolutely 100% safe for sinners, but dangerous for sin. Friends, your sin has already been laid on Jesus. Whatever it is that you have right now buried underneath your tent, the stones have already been stacked on his body. I want to invite you, like Joshua invited Achan, to give praise to the Lord, to honor him, and join me as I've been doing all week in confessing our sins to him together. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Confess your sins to God and you will be saved. When we confess our sins to others, we begin the healing process. Do you believe that's true? God says it's true. We don't have to return to the old yoke of slavery of hiding our sin like we used to anymore, church. We don't have to. And like I've said multiple times this week in meetings that I did not want to be in, but it was a privilege to serve in, friends, listen to me. If there's any time to give praise to God with confession, it's right now. I'm talking to you as your brother. I'm talking to you as your friend. I'm talking to you as your pastor. If there's any time, why not today? Today is as good as it's going to be tomorrow. But in light of what we're talking about, why not today? Find freedom in Christ. Give praise to God. Leave it behind. We cannot stand before our enemies if we keep hiding under our tents all this gold and silver. And God wants to do something in this community, in your life, to set you free. But dang it, we're not going to go anywhere. And it's not my fault. It's us as a family. And I don't care if you're a member or not. You are a member of God's holy church. And we are devoted to him. Give him what is his, your whole heart. I know you're scared, and I'm scared too. But sin leads to defeat, and the only response to sin and defeat is brokenness. And if we identify it, if we deal with it together, you know what he's going to give us? Freedom. Absolute freedom. Verse 26, then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Kor. Israel got to leave the Valley of Trouble because they dealt with their sin. I would like to leave the Valley of Trouble, but I really need your help. So let's give glory to the Lord. Listen to me, friends. Thomas Watson says this, till sin be bitter, Christ will not be sweet. So the worship team is going to come up, but they're not going to play a song. What we're going to do is we're going to take some time, and you are going to decide to worship the Lord through confession, to give these things to the Lord. We're just going to take a moment as a church to sit. If you need to go to somebody, this is not the moment to care about what any person in this room thinks, only what God thinks. Isaiah 2:22 says, do not regard man in whose nostrils is breath, for what of account is he? You know who you should regard today, church? Jesus. And he sits on his throne. And he's inviting all of us as our friend, as our Savior, to worship through confession. So let's sit. Let's honor the